It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff. And today we are very happy to have special guest Anne Whitman with us. She is employed with a well within the Fortune 100 companies, and she was just elected to the board of the Conservative Action Committee of the Republican Party for Hancock County. And Anne, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. We're happy to have you. And maybe just start things off, just give us a little background on kind of, you know, where you're from and what makes Anne Anne.
Okay. Well, I'm from Findlay, Ohio. I was born here and raised here on a small horse farm, not far from where we are right now, actually.
All right. Pretty big horse community.
But I won't give that
too,
away. So. I won't tell them where I am in the secret studio. I went to college in Denver at the Art Institute. I have a degree in occupational studies for business and music and video. I actually work for a Forbes Top 50 company, and I'm going to be sworn in tonight for the Executive Committee of the Republican Party. So that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm very much looking forward to that. I've owned my own business, so I've been a small business owner. That was when I lived in Arlington. I lived there. My daughter went to school there all the way through. So very familiar with that area and having a business. As I said, I have a daughter. She's married. I have two grandchildren. So I guess that's kind of a little background,
sure.
A little bit of where I'm from and
yeah.
What
so
I'm about.
You got into politics.
Yeah, I was going to ask that next.
You got into politics.
What made you go down that road?
Well, I think I know it started back in like 2015, 2016, during the presidential elections, when all of that was kind of starting to come around. And then, back then, I was a Democrat. Mm. I was a lifelong Democrat. I lived it, breathed it. That's
now. When you say Democrat, would you consider yourself to be the far left extreme, or more like the center left, more lenient in social policies, but still, you know, kind of conservative financially? Where would you put yourself on the spectrum, I guess?
Well, I look at it, I guess, maybe a little differently. I think the Democratic Party has evolved a great deal. It wasn't quite the same as it is now.
Like Tulsi's whole point?
Yes.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah. Yes. And I think I grew up with, you know, my family was Democratic, and it was kind of the JFK Democrat Party.
Okay. Sure.
You know, and I think that's more the way I looked at it, but with more of a, I would say my family was more conservative, if anything, but liberal in some senses, possibly. So, like I said, I feel like the Democratic Party has evolved quite a bit into more liberal extremism in some cases that I could just no longer identify with. So back then, in 2015, 2016, is when I really started kind of digging into history, like, you know, going back and looking at government and history. And I started looking more at biblical text, and I started looking at the economy, and, you know, I just researched everything from
you had
wars,
an awakening. You had an awakening
to prophecy to everything. Yes.
Yeah.
I guess you could say that. Yeah. I mean, things were not adding up. And the more I researched history, the more I just started to question everything, especially the wars that we had been right. involved in the funding of both sides of these wars. And
we've gone through the same thing.
Yeah. You're actually lucky because you got your awakening 4 to 5 years before I feel like a lot of people got their awakening. So you had a little time to...
And I think probably where they made their mistake was with the whole pandemic thing, because that... I was at home, of course, so sure. that gave me more time to research. So right. that was probably not a good idea for those of us that to dig in.
I think you're exactly right, and I think that's kind of what happened to a lot of people. Kind of, as the kids kind of say today, the math isn't mathing. Started to look at, like, this stuff we're told doesn't necessarily add up. And then, like you said, so many people were stuck at home, whether it be working or unemployed, with free opportunity to kind of start to use the resources available to them. And
right.
I think a lot of people have right. a different viewpoint than they probably did a right. few years before that, for sure.
Right. And, you know, I think one of the biggest things for me, I think that really encouraged me even more, was I started learning a lot more about the child trafficking.
Yeah.
And I really kind of dug into that, you know, and it goes back to, I started kind of with like the Corey Feldman when he first came right. out and mm-hmm. talked about the abuses in Hollywood.
You know what's so hard, Corey? He's kind of eccentric. A lot of the individuals who've been abused, that's part of the coping mechanism. And it's what those of us who've not been abused use it as an excuse why maybe they're just weird and lying or imagining things that never happened, as opposed to saying, wait a second, maybe something really happened here. Hello, Jeffrey Epstein. And you start right. to uncover stuff and realize this isn't some over the pond or on some island issue. This is all the way up to our government officials. Like
right.
this is...
Right.
There are ties here that I don't want to acknowledge. And that's kind of what you're describing, I think, for you. And this awakening, there were things not just in your party, but even in your own education as a child coming up into America. You're like, I wasn't exactly taught the right things as right. it was.
Right.
And so I kind of lived in a delusional bubble
right.
that enabled me exactly. to be controlled in the Democratic Party.
Exactly.
Or, by the way, Republican Party. It goes
yes,
both ways.
Yes, it does.
Well, I think your Democrats of 40 years ago are kind of your new age Republicans today.
I right. would agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would agree with that.
I mean, you look at people like, I mean, Donald Trump, he was a Democrat and just was like, all right, I this is too much for me. I got to leave this. I mean, you had.
And you know, the funny thing is Hollywood loved him way
right.
back then.
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Until he went against the narrative.
He has a book full of all of the letters that all those people wrote him over the years, of just like how much they admired him and how much they loved him and loved what he did and loved what he stood for. And
yes.
now he's just the worst thing to.
Yes.
Well, haven't
ever
I know I've experienced that, where as long as you're towing the lines of cheering for that team and they're whatever they need to do to win the points, right? As long as you're not questioning and as long as you're in line with them, you've got the team. But the
right.
moment you step out of line, woof, you get run over.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. You know, and we're seeing that with like the Nickelodeon scandal and Diddy and all of that. You know, it's all starting to come out, and it's, you know, and like you said, it's not just Hollywood. It's
right.
in politics. It's everywhere.
Right.
That was part of, like I said, it got me started with the Hollywood thing, and then it grew from there. And then I started getting into the statistics of child trafficking. And, you know, there's 1.2 million kids that are trafficked every year. That's 3,300 per day. And one every 30 seconds. That is not acceptable.
I'll get it personal for you. I've got a niece who was trafficked.
Oh, my.
I'll never talk about
that.
It. On the I don't talk about it. My older brother, Jim, who listens to this podcast, it's still fresh. Like he can't talk about it. It's
right.
rough.
And I mean, even locally, it's happening. And, you know, there was an article April 22nd of this year in the Courier, sexual trafficking or sex trafficking in Findlay, Hancock County area is up 33%.
Right.
You know, what is happening there? And then, you know, it also talked about like felony assault cases are up and felonious assault, aggravated assault, strangulation. Rape,
right.
all of our statistics there are up.
Well, thankfully, it's going to get better since the border's open.
Oh, true. I was actually just going to ask you if you think there's any correlation in like the abundance of new people that moved in and the raising
well,
of crime statistics.
But do realize all those folks have been checked against our national database, and all these people coming in from other countries don't have a record here in America, so it's fine. They've never done anything illegal in the country they've never been in. We can't check what they've done in their home countries, but you just need to trust. It's all going to be fine.
Right. Well, I follow an independent journalist. His name's Ben Berkwam. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Oh, from Yeah, he's on Bannon's War Room all the time.
Yes.
Yep.
And, he travels all over the world, and he follows the issue of trafficking. And I was just watching an interview with him the other day, and one of the things he talked about was there was one child that they had used, or as he said, recycled 13 times back and forth across the border to help bring illegals in as
like parents,
their parent,
or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, 'cause you get special.
Yes. And you can imagine what happened to that child after 13 times of that. That's just one of the things that I think we really, and we live right near I-75.
Sure,
it's
a huge corridor.
North-south, so we
Well, again, those kids, 13 times, there's trauma there. And if any of us have ever been wounded before, hello, there's trauma. And it makes you act peculiarly, like it makes you act a little weird. I'm sure that kid's got some issues.
Right? Oh,
and it doesn't mean that what story they're telling of what happened to them isn't true. It means they've been traumatized.
Right.
And accidentally, by us not listening and researching like you were brave enough to do, we're enabling this to continue.
Yes. Yes.
So do you feel... I feel as though for you, it kind of sounds like you have an artsy background. This was kind of a natural draw to you when you started doing research, kind of into the world of arts and theatrics.
Diving into the whole Hollywood scene and music and, actors and actresses.
Well,
and
let's be
and
fair,
all
most of
that.
These people who are in these artsy positions are to the societal standard of what we've been conditioned to believe is normal. I would say most of those people don't fit that mold anyways, right? They're different, they're eclectic. That's what makes them unique and what makes them have the platforms that they do. So I feel as though, we're talking about Corey Feldman, a lot of these people are kind of also made to look crazy when they come out and say things that...
Exactly.
You might not necessarily be crazy at all as much as you're being made to look like, well... You wouldn't play our game anymore, so now everybody's going to think that you're nuts.
It sounds sensational because it is.
Exactly.
It really happened.
Right.
It really happened.
That's very true.
So, in other words, what you're saying is you were, after your research, what you uncovered, you were compelled. You couldn't sit back anymore.
Right.
This is going to come at a cost to you, and you're okay with that?
Yes.
Hmm.
Because
this is what we need. We need people. We've talked about it before. We need people to understand that there are things we're suffering for, and doing what's right is one of those things.
I mean, and that's just it. If we continue to be complacent and we don't speak out about it, nothing's going to change. I think that, it's like a lot of people say, well, the Democrats are going to cheat again in the upcoming election. We're not going to win anyway.
Just stand down, do nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's... That's exactly what they want us to do. They don't want us to vote.
They got to marginalize us. They got to make us feel powerless. In other words, make us never show up to the fight.
Right. And, we have to vote. I tell everybody, get out there, be a poll worker, be a poll watcher, knock on doors, volunteer, email your senators, email your congressmen and women, your city officials, go to city council meetings. I spoke at a Findlay City School Board meeting against CRT before it even really just
had a position.
That it did.
Yeah.
And I had no children in the school system, but I'm a taxpayer and I am concerned about our children.
Right.
Sure.
Again, not just trafficking of our children, but the education of our children and what they're being taught and what is instilled in them. It goes from transgenderism to politics, all of it. And, my biggest take on my speech that I gave that evening was our teachers are there to teach English, science, math, core subjects that are important. And history being accurate is important.
Right.
We get too wrapped up in personal beliefs, political beliefs. That's not what our kids are there for. That's something their parents need to instill in them, not a teacher or school board person or any other person employed by our school system.
Sure.
Have there been wrongs in our history? Absolutely. Do we need to right those? Absolutely. But I don't like to see, I feel like all that does is bring more division and point out differences and, yes, while differences are good, but how are we ever going to unite and come together if we can't understand that we have many commonalities?
Every person, even if you don't subscribe to the biblical model, we're related to Adam and Eve, first and foremost, if you believe the Bible. So people who've been enslaved, you're related to them, right? So you've been touched by that. But every ethnic race, every race, and really just the human race, but if you want to go down that line, has had slavery, not just they've owned slaves, they've been slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to acknowledge that.
Yes.
But there is a group that tries to use and weaponize that reality of certain folks who most recently in the United States been slaves. And they weaponize that to try and punish people who, first of all, never owned slaves, and then victimize a group who themselves were not slaves to believe that they do something that they're not owed.
Right.
And what that does is it creates a wall, a divide, mm-hmm. that's hard for any of us to come together, especially when you've been indoctrinated to believe an injustice has been done against you. And really the primary issue that we really have, we've all done wrong.
Right.
We've all been wronged.
Right.
And the key is for all of us to let the best of us come forth.
Right.
That's what our founders tried to do. The reason that slavery got abolished was because of our Bill of Rights, because of the Constitution, because of, the church, people standing up and being that salt and light. And I think that's kind of another one of our issues is we want to make sure as good people, we're not being the Karens or the Kevins, right? Where we're nosing in into situations where we have no responsibility. But like you just said, as a taxpayer, you're funding programs you don't agree with. It is your responsibility.
Right.
It's we the people, and somehow we got away from that. You have a vested interest in all of this, as do I, as does Tyler. And it's reinvesting, not just giving our time, but our treasure. What was the whole list that our founders had?
Their lives and their sacred honor.
We all need to reinvest that, because if we don't, that will all be taken from us anyway.
Yes. I come from a family of veterans. My grandfather, especially, I was very close with him. He was a World War II veteran. I can recall him and my great uncle sitting around at family gatherings discussing,
war stories.
Yes. And, And the ugliness some of them, of war. They don't want to talk about.
Right.
And that's very understandable.
Scars.
But I think that was another kind of trigger for me, is I look at what they sacrificed. Mm-hmm. My grandfather earned 2 Bronze Stars and a Purple Heart during World War II, and he was overseas, and he saw a lot of things that no one should ever have to see. It affects every veteran. That's another passion of mine, is standing up for our veterans, especially those that are homeless on the streets. And when I see, back to the border situation, when I see our money going toward supporting those people,
we have a
it
duty.
Really breaks my heart, because I see here, even in Findlay, homeless men and women
that we can take care of right here in our backyard.
Well,
right.
You've got a duty to care for your daughter before you care for my son, right?
Right.
Nobody would question that.
Right.
If you take that same logic, you see the same thing in the church. The church has a responsibility to care for its local body before it cares for those who are not a part of that body. It's the same principle in a country. You have a responsibility,
yes,
to care for fellow Americans or Ukrainians or Russians. Am I getting all the trouble here? whatever the country, whatever nationality you're a part of, you've got a responsibility to your people first.
Right.
I know they call that nationalism, I guess.
We just call it America first.
Right.
Right.
And listen, if you're in Africa, it should be Africa first. Everyone, just like you do your own family, you put your family first before you put another person's family.
Right.
It's
right.
Not that you don't care about their family. But that's part of what family does.
Right.
And that's also what a nation does. And if it doesn't, it won't be a nation long.
Correct. And I mean, it makes me think, you know, I've seen the analogy online of, you know, they're talking about open borders. They're like, well, then why don't you just leave your front door wide open and unlocked every night, you know, or all day?
Why lock your doors?
Right. You know, and it's the same premise, really. Immigration is wonderful, right?
Sure. Legal immigration.
Right. Legal immigration. That's the difference. And, mm-hmm. you know, people go and they're like, oh, well, this country was built on illegal immigrants. And I'm like, no, this country was built on settlers.
Yeah, legal.
They were settlers that came here for a new way of life. Of course, over time, immigration then came with that. Mm-hmm. But there's processes, and those processes need to be followed. They're laid out very clearly in our Constitution, and we need to follow that.
Right.
And we're not. In fact,
they're trying to destroy that Constitution.
Yes.
Right? The Bill of Rights. And they've been walking over them for years, and now they're trying to remove them as best they can.
Do you guys think there's any salvaging the current system, or do you think it needs to entirely be rebuilt?
Isn't that the question so many are asking? And on different levels, but we're all asking the same thing. Can we win? Is this doable? Is it possible? Tune in next week as we explore that question. And if it is possible, how? How do we not just face our giants? How do we slay them?
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com. where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.